Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Tavistock Development Company, the driving force behind Sunbridge, Central Florida's only naturehood. Together with the Florida Headwaters Foundation, Sunbridge is committed to creating a legacy of sustainability for future generations. More at sunbridgefl.com.
E-bikes are becoming more popular and causing concern in communities. You're listening to The Wrap from Central Florida Public Media. I'm Brendan Byrne. They're showing up outside schools and on the streets of Central Florida. E-bikes and e-scooters are changing the way people get around. School boards, law enforcement agencies, and transportation advocates are weighing where those vehicles belong in their communities and whether the region is ready for more riders. A look at e-bikes in the community and concerns over their safety. That's ahead on The Wrap. The big stories this week from Central Florida Public Media. But first, these headlines. Supervisors of elections throughout Central Florida find themselves battling misinformation as they promote voter participation and the safety and security of Florida elections. The six supervisors joined a panel discussion hosted by the News Collaborative of Central Florida. Our reporter, Joe Byrne, was there.
If voters read a story that they don't trust or that gives them, quote, a bad gut feeling, Seminole County Supervisor of Elections Amy Panic urges them to contact their supervisor's office for accurate information.
We are in the proactive confusion management business. We all are out there trying to get you the right information so that when you get the wrong information, you question it right away.
The supervisors say they're being transparent so voters can see the processes that keep Florida elections secure from tampering and interference. Lake County's Alan Hayes says their systems are safe from cyber attacks.
In order for a bad actor to penetrate our election system, they have to get on the internet. Our tabulation networks are never, ever connected to the internet. So you can sleep tight at night knowing that our tabulation system is not connected to the internet at any time.
Hayes says their goal is to get all Americans, regardless of party, to participate.
If you can fog a mirror and sign your name, then if you're a citizen, we want you to vote.
They especially want you to vote in the August 18th primary. Joe Burns, Central Florida Public Media.
Meanwhile, voters in Florida face a Monday deadline to register to vote in next month's primary election. The August 18th ballot will include partisan primary races for governor, state cabinet offices, U.S. Senate, and some congressional and legislative races. There are also several nonpartisan city, county, and judicial races across the state open to all voters, regardless of political affiliation. In addition to new Florida voters, those who wish to switch their political party affiliation must also make changes by Monday for the update to take effect. Florida is a closed primary state, meaning partisan primaries can only be voted in by citizens of the same political affiliation. Mark Early is the supervisor of elections in Leon County.
If you want to have a say in either, say, the Republican or the Democratic governor's races, make sure you're affiliated with that party by July 20th.
As of June 30th, there were more than 13.4 million registered voters in the state of Florida. To sign up to vote or update your existing registration, visit registertovoteflorida.gov. A new federal rule is set to dramatically change the Endangered Species Act. Conservation groups are already challenging it. Central Florida Public Media's Molly Durig has more on how the change could affect sea turtle populations in the region.
Conservationists say the ESA is seen as a global example for species protection. It's helped sea turtle populations bounce back in Central Florida and beyond. But the law's protections would weaken dramatically under the new rule slated to take effect in September. It rescinds a decades-long definition of one word, harm, meaning that word will no longer include harm to habitat for protected plant and animal species.
That was Molly Durick reporting. These stories and more on our website. Visit cfpublic.org. Palm Bay's Freedom's Table event uses Caribbean cuisine to tell the story of Emancipation Day, the August 1st holiday that celebrates the end of British imperial slavery in the Caribbean in 1833.
History should be remembered, but it also be experienced. So through Freedom's Table, we allow persons to learn about our culture, celebrate and appreciate Caribbean culture. And this is done through food.
Hear more about the celebration on Spotlight. Get it where you get this podcast. They're showing up outside schools and on the streets of Central Florida. E-bikes and e-scooters are changing the way people get around. School boards, law enforcement agencies, and transportation advocates are weighing where those vehicles belong in their communities and whether the region is ready for more riders. The nonprofit Bike Walk Central Florida works to create a more connected and equitable transportation system. Their executive director, Emily Bush, says they've worked with schools and community partners to teach young people about safety at in-school presentations, bike rodeos, and helmet-fitting events. In addition to students, she's also seeing more older adults turning to micromobility, too. Speaking with Central Florida Public Media's Sharon Stone, Bush says one of the big challenges is confusion over the difference between legal e-bikes and high-powered electric motorcycles that look similar.
Anything that's beyond, say, 750 watts of power, anything that doesn't have pedals, it might look like a bike, but if it looks more like a motorcycle, is not an e-bike. That is an e-moto. We even don't even put it under the definition of a micromobility device, because a micromobility device is like a small seated scooter that you would see in a downtown urban setting. But some of these more souped up e-bikes that you see are more of these e-moto type devices that are really unregulated, are being sold on Amazon and Walmart. And that's what we're seeing, is a lot of these middle school, high school students kind of on these devices that aren't really designed to be out on our roadways. And they're being called e-bikes. And that's not really fair to the proper e-bikes and the people that use them as they should within our streets and trails.
Can you think of any advice for parents who might think that they're buying something safe online for their kids, but they end up with one of these models that does a lot more than maybe they realize? Like, how do you educate yourself on what you're getting?
Yeah, that's a great question, and something that we actually get asked quite a bit at Bike Walk. So my advice, first and foremost, would be don't buy anything online. Go to a bike shop, first and foremost. They'll service your e-bike. And so if anything goes wrong with it, you're not going to be able to get it serviced from an online provider most of the time. So go to a reputable bike shop, ask questions about what's appropriate, and make sure not just getting the bicycle, but getting the appropriate gear. You know, it's a requirement in the state of Florida for anyone 16 and under to wear a helmet. And so some of those helmets that we get for kids that you would think might be for a basic bicycle are not geared or set up for an e-bike because they go faster, and therefore that fall is harder. Make sure that you get the safety gear that's supported for that device that you're getting.
Are you seeing more people riding e-bikes, e-scooters than you were a few years ago?
Absolutely. They serve a greater audience than just, say, your Segways from like the 2000 era, right? And so now the youth like them. They're able to hop on these things and get to parks or to schools or to the friend's house versus walking, taking a regular bicycle, which nowadays might be boring, right? Or waiting on their mom or parent or guardian, right, to take them to the place they need to go. So it gives them that sense of independence, which is why I think we've seen an uptick in them recently. I see almost kind of like two kind of sets of population shifts and growth of use in two different types of devices. So the e-bike really kind of exploded more for our senior population that allows them to use that for recreation and transportation. It allows them to be able to go farther, exercise, and be, you know, be able to exercise and kind of keep pace with maybe some of their friends who might be younger or better agility or ability. So it gives them more of a sense of independence and freedom. Kind of the same arguments that you would say for somebody in middle school, but they're just getting that independence and freedom, right? So they're exploring a little bit more.
Do you think Central Florida is ready for this, for e-bikes and e-scooters?
Yes and no. I think there are places in Central Florida that are ready. I think the communities have invested in their trail system a decade plus ago. Seminole and Orange County, City of Orlando, City of Apopka, you know, have, I think, a leg up. Winter Garden is a great example, right? I mean, I think you can list any and all trail towns that really exist in Central Florida and how they've really leveraged and utilized and thought about that infrastructure and how it relates to economic development, to recreation, and other things. I think what we lack is two things. One, the places for children to go and learn about balance and ride these bicycles and just, you know, we tell them not to be in the street. We don't want them on their phones, right? Then we get them out in the streets on these devices that are the devices of today. And then we tell them not to be in the road. So where are they going to go? I think an excellent example of a city answering and addressing this question is the city of Castleberry and their Wheel Park that they just built off of Winter Park Drive. It's two phases. One is kind of a smaller, youth, more focused kind of traffic garden. So it's got kind of small streets. It's a controlled park space, really, where the kids can experience how to balance, how to navigate without having to go out and do so on a city street. On the other side of that park is a full skate park, pump track designed for older kids, adults to be able to recreate, if you will, and to be able to use devices, electrified or not, to have fun, which, again, I think we need to build more of those spaces, not just for the transportation side, but also to encourage the recreation side.
So what do you think the next steps are? Is it more education? Is it rules, like putting in speed limits, or is it looking at road designs?
It's a combination of all those things. There has to be a balance of education and enforcement and the design of the infrastructure that helps support the education and the enforcement. And so all three of those big pillars, I think, are pretty critical in this space. And we really need to address that from those three perspectives. And each one is doing so somewhat in isolation. We are starting to work a little bit more together. We have been in the Central Florida region, but now more so on the state side. We were hoping to kind of being forced that through the task force that was going to be created from the micromobility bill that was recently vetoed by the governor. So now the state, through a few coalitions, are trying to build kind of what model language looks like for a community, how to essentially have the same rules and responsibilities across multiple jurisdictions. So it's not, for example, the city of Ocoee has rules now on their sidewalks for, you know, 10 miles per hour, whereas Winter Garden has 15, right? So, you know, just trying to create some synergy and some similarity between all of these kind of rules of the road. We have speed limits and things that are enforced on our roadways. Those change regularly, but we don't necessarily have that on our trails or the infrastructure that we use for these devices. So really emphasizing, I think, that, and then allowing the education to accompany the infrastructure and the enforcement that goes along and continue to reinforce that message. The more that we have community feedback, the more that we talk about this issue as a community, the more likely we are to find solutions that I think fit everybody, including our seniors and our middle schoolers, right? And I think we will find those solutions. I think it's going to take time. And in the meantime, I think we have to work as a community to make sure that everybody gets home safely at the end of the day.
That was Bike Walk Central Florida Executive Director Emily Bush speaking with Central Florida Public Media Sharon Stone. Hear more on the e-bike issues this week on Engage. Get it where you get this podcast. That's it for the wrap this week. This podcast is produced by Central Florida Public Media with editorial assistance from News Director LaToya Dennis. I'm Brendan Byrne. This is the wrap.